Let's talk about how we can engage in helping further this thing. When we said something needs to change, part of it is, and when you talked about the statistics of only 3% going to that, can we use this last thing of investing in more targeted, not influential, that's not the word I'm looking for, a way that's directly involved in helping in this area?
Yeah, I hope it doesn't sound self-serving, but if it's all right with you, I'd like to just talk for just a minute about what we do at World Challenge.
I would love to. I think that'd be a great place.
And, you know, and even ask for, you know, an appeal.
Yes, please.
But it's not based on, you know, we're not asking you to give money so that Gary and Mark can have what raises.
Right.
We're talking about so that we can further the kingdom of God, we can further the gospel.
Which is, you know, and to be able to back that up, the Lord has graced us with certain people that have helped us to where all our salaries and all that is already paid for. And that's kind of in a system that's set. And, you know, and so everything else, anything in the World Challenge that's given towards mission, 100% of it goes to the work of the mission. So, and that's pretty rare.
It is, indeed. And, you know, and so I would say, one, people ought to be giving something to something that's outside of their own, that they're not a direct beneficiary of the results.
Meaning like your local church?
Yeah, your local church. You know, I tie to my local church, you know, but I also benefit from my local church.
I got you,
You know, I may give toward the homeless community, you know, helping to solve the homeless problem in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
And I may not, you know, I don't have a family member that's homeless, but if the homeless issue is dealt with in Colorado Springs, it certainly helps my life. It makes Colorado Springs an easier, better place to live.
Exactly.
When I give to gospel proclamation or the poor, whatever, on the other side of the world, the benefit I get of that is nothing materially. You know, the only benefit is to their benefit and to the glory of God.
Yeah.
So the way we do mission, so, you know, I'm not anti-missionary for sure. I was a missionary for 30 years, so I'm certainly not anti-missionary.
And God's still calling people.
God
still
is, absolutely.
Americans still, young college students or somebody who's retiring and wants to spend from 65 to 80, they can go and help.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to spend next Thursday evening on the campus of the University of South Carolina speaking to a large group of university students and telling them that they ought to use their life for the glory of God amongst the nations. But in addition to that, you know, so I want to see people go, but I've also discovered, you know, you've heard me say it, the Great Commission doesn't belong to the Western church. It belongs to the global church.
Mm-hmm.
Every church ought to be sending. So just the practicals of how the missionary enterprise works.
And that would be for World Challenge as well?
Well, so let's imagine, you know, this coming Sunday, one of your children is at church and a missionary speaks or your pastor speaks on the Great Commission.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart and they say, I want to respond to this. Maybe a missionary came and talked about the Muslim world, and they say, I feel called to go to Algeria.
Mm-hmm.
And they move forward with that and they go through, they do all the right things. They go through, you know, all the kind of processes that would be, you know, vetting and finding out, are they qualified? Meaning, do they character, you know, all the kind of stuff, you know, then they have to raise a budget. Well, you know, we're Westerners. We tend to think our standard of living needs to be at a certain level. And then, of course, you know, we have insurance that we have to have, and we have to have, you know, we probably even are helping up with retirement. And all of those are good things. I'm not putting any of those things down. But by the time that budget's all put together, it's pretty hefty.
Yeah.
And all of that is just to get to the place and be on the ground.
Right.
We haven't even started actually having a ministry. That's just presence.
Yeah.
Then I have to learn a culture. I have to learn a language. You know, if I'm going to the Arabic speaking world, Arabic's considered, if you're an English speaker, Arabic's considered one of the most hard languages yet there is. It's a polar language. Okay. So it takes a lot of work, a lot of energy, a lot of effort. Mm. Let's assume you do everything right. You learn the language. You learn the culture. You're engaging with people on the ground. You're sharing your faith regularly. After 20 years of engagement, if this is where you start as a, you know, on the day you were called, and this is full penetration into the local culture where you are seen as, you know, you can share the gospel in such a way that people like, he's one of us.
Yeah.
After 20 years, I start here. I want to get here. After 20 years, I'm still way over it. I'm still.
You're not quite as
I'm
close
not even.
To,
you know, maybe I've gone 2/3 of the way.
Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons we do missions the way we do at World Challenge is you mentioned earlier. We talk about near culture neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to. I feel I have this burden for Yemen.
Yeah.
I want to see the people of Yemen come to Christ. As an American, I can't go to Yemen.
Right.
You know, it would be foolish. I'm okay with accepting risk, but I wouldn't get killed in Yemen for being a Christian. I'd get killed in Yemen for being an American.
Yeah.
I'm willing to die for my faith. I don't want to die for, you know, the color of my passport.
Right.
So, but an Egyptian can go to Yemen.
Mm.
On day one, no one's looking at him any different.
Mm-hmm.
He's not at risk because he's an Egyptian. He speaks Arabic. He already has the culture, and if he's a Christ follower, he's there. He can share the gospel from day one.
Yeah.
Took me 20 years to be able to get to that kind of place, and he starts on day one further on the process than I am. So at World Challenge, we aren't a mission sending organization. We don't send Western missionaries, but we support indigenous missions efforts.
Yeah.
In countries like Egypt, like Yemen, we have partners around the world who are taking the gospel to places, quite frankly, that a lot of times as Westerners, we couldn't even go. And not only if we could go on day one, they are starting more effectively.
Yeah.
I don't like reducing things down to return on investment.
Right.
But if I did, it's hard to argue that materially that's not a higher return on investment because you are more effective with your investment than you would be in other ways.
Tell us just if you could in 3 or 4 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, just to, as an example of that, maybe the story you have been telling us a little bit about. I think it was Richard. And he was in a country, and was it an animal type bank or something?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because that's a good example of how we can. Because when I first heard about near neighbor, my first thought was, well, then they don't need us. The Egyptians can take care of Yemen, and so I was like, well, why have missions then? But when I heard stories like this, then it encouraged me. Okay, this is what a Westerner
can do.
Can be a part of.
Yeah. You know. So we there's a country in Southern Asia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's an overwhelmingly Muslim country, claims to be 100% Muslim,
mm-hmm.
That we are engaged in. It's also an extremely poor country. And so we're concerned about poverty. You can't go into these countries and just like put up a tent and start preaching the gospel.
Right.
You know, if it got any attention at all, it wouldn't be good attention.
Yeah.
You know, so you wouldn't have any spiritual fruit and the risk would be unnecessarily dangerous. So we go into the communities and we work with local people. So we found some kingdom people, Christ followers, who were already engaged in the community. And we said, have you ever considered, and we talked about, you know, what are your plans to help people who are poor? And they're like, we're poor. You know, how do we help anybody else? You know, we do what we can, but we're very limited. And so we said, what if we could help show you an approach that would do two things? One, it would help systemically get people out of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Poverty isn't just individual. Poverty is community.
Yes.
So, you know, if I help one person in a village who's poor, all I've done is created envy yeah. and jealousy in the community. But if I can help the whole community, yeah. then I've avoided that. Yeah. And I've created respect for the approach. So all of our approaches are linked back to Scripture. They're all linked. They're Christ-centered approaches. So as we go into these communities, we're helping materially, we're through local people, but we're also giving credibility to the gospel. So we're, in that particular community, we provided seed money to buy a bunch of cows. Mm. The cows, we allowed the people in the community to make the decision on who got the cows. Cows were distributed. Nobody got more than one. We had like 9 females and 1 male, because so that they all had to work together.
Yeah.
So the people, the guy with the bull had to work with the person with the cow, because the person with the bull wasn't going to get any more cows.
Right.
But the person with the cow, the female cow, had to have the bull partnership. Mm-hmm. So the community was working together.
Yeah.
They go through this whole thing. They start having we train them on how to use every part of the cow. Even the dung.
Okay.
They're using for fertilizers and all the different. So we're bringing training in to help. We're increasing the level of wealth in the community. So all of a sudden, kids are not dying of malnutrition because families actually have the money to buy the food that they need.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, when the first cow is born, and this is going to sound a bit strange, we ask that the cow be returned to the head of the ministry there.
Okay. Right.
And the purpose isn't to pay back. The purpose is so that that cow can then be distributed to another poor family.
Yeah.
And the idea is it's twofold. One, it helps somebody else. But two, it restores dignity to the person who received the cow. Because, you know, none of us like to be feel like welfare recipients.
Right.
All of a sudden, when they're able to pay that back, give that cow back,
they're helping.
They help their community. Yeah. They're no longer a drag on society. They're actually a contributor to society. So it helps. All of this is helping at a, you know, what we might call a more material, socioeconomic level. But the other part of this is, we did, in this case, we were working through a small church, very small percentage of Christians there, but there was a church present. So we were working through that church. The church, our regional leader for that area, goes in. He's visiting the program. Program's thriving. Everything's going well. Goes to church one Sunday evening, and it's clear there's a lot of Muslims in the congregation. Here's this woman reading the Bible in the local language, who's actually not only just got her head covered, but she has her face covered.
Mm.
You know, the very traditional, what you think of as a religious Muslim. And she's reading the Bible.
Mm.
After the service that evening, our regional leader asked the local pastor, said, "I see you have a lot of Muslims in the congregation." He said, "How many of them have come to faith in Christ?" And the pastor said, "Honestly, not many."
And were some of them coming to, you know, why would these Muslims come to the church if they're not, you know, becoming Christians? Was it some of them because they were hearing about? Did some of them receive the cows, or were those all church members?
None of the people that were coming were coming. None of them were coming so that they could get. Right. We never make a distinction, you know, so we never say you have to come to church in order to get a cow.
But what I'm wondering is, some of the people that got a cow, were they Muslim families?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Okay. As a matter of fact, I think it was 9-1.
Okay.
So we blessed one Christian family, and the rest were all unbelieving families.
But those unbelieving families probably knew the heart behind this was the
100%. We are never gospel backward.
Right.
We are always gospel forward.
Yeah. And so people know that this is let your light shine before men.
Yes. And not just our good works. I mean, we're saying our good works, we're telling people our good works are motivated because of what Christ did for us.
Absolutely.
You know, 100%. So we are gospel forward.
Yeah.
But our approaches raise credibility for the gospel.
Yeah. And which this did, obviously.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So these Muslims are coming.
Yeah.
They're reading the Bible. They're going to Bible studies, but they just haven't walked across the line yet.
Right.
And so our regional leader says to this pastor, you know, ask the question, says, not many. We're concerned about that. We're excited that they're coming, but they haven't yet made. He said, well, he didn't say, well, why don't you do this, this, and this? Because we believe really strongly in two things. We believe in the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we believe in the indigenous church, the local church. So our guy, very good, very smart, doesn't say, why don't you do this and this? He says, what might we do? Mm-hmm. Let's pray and ask God to reveal to us what we might be able to do to help these people cross the line.
I like that.
They end up praying. A couple weeks later, our regional leader's back in America. They say, he reaches out to him and says, we're going to have a seeker weekend. Now, this isn't like seeker services in America. This is Muslims in our community who have expressed interest. They've come to the church. They've heard the gospel, but they just haven't walked across the line yet. We're going to have a whole weekend where we're inviting them in. We're going to provide food, and we're going to minister to them. But we're also saying any question you have is no questions off limits.
Yeah.
So just come. And we're going to talk. And they weren't bringing in other people. So this was just these kinds of people. They came at the end of the, I think they had 32 people who came to that weekend. I think 17 of them in that weekend made commitments to Christ and were baptized.
Wow. That's huge.
That's huge in the Muslim world.
Huge. Yeah.
Several of them made decisions to follow Christ, but had not yet at that point taken it to the point of baptism.
Yeah.
That in and of itself is phenomenally exciting.
Yeah.
But what made it even more exciting was that that became a catalytic moment. It's like those guys who made the decision, like all of a sudden they were empowered, they were excited, and they actually started sharing Christ. And we saw that become sort of this catalytic moment that led to many others coming to faith in Christ and getting baptized. But never want to separate the Holy Spirit factor, but there's also the human factor.
Right.
God works through humans. I always think, what would have happened if our guy hadn't asked that question?
Right. Or hadn't been there in the first place.
Hadn't been there in the first place. If hadn't raised the level of Christianity in that poor community by providing cows.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's contribution in America gave us money to buy 10 cows in a poor South Asia village so that the gospel could have credibility. And then our regional leader goes in there, partners with these people, has this conversation. What might happen? What might we do? Local people follow through, they are the kingdom of God in that context. And now we're seeing Jesus glorified in a way in a Muslim country that is exciting.
Yeah, it's so good. I mean, it just makes me rejoice. And to think, you know, and going back to the word collaboration, that we're just one of many people that God's called to engage in this type of ministry. And yet we are one. And so when we ask these questions about what, you know, I'm just one person, what can I do? And to get interested in it. So now if you've sat through or listened to this in your car, this whole podcast, you're probably interested.
Yep.
And then we sort of talked about ways you can be involved and invest too. So you know, 100% of what is given to World Challenge can go to do like the buy the cows, to send our teams to those places to inspire these people to, because, you know, we kind of tend to think, you know, okay, there are churches in America that are, you know, it's us in these four walls and we're not interested in the outside community. That happens in urban areas, probably even more than in rural areas. Like, you know, we're an enclave to protect us against the big bad city we live in. And we tend to think that doesn't happen in some of these other unreached people groups, but they do. There can be a small group of Christians who are very, they can be afraid, they can be, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of our ministry is to go alongside and help build faith and courage, the things that World Challenge Ministry started when my dad went into, you know, from a little church in Pennsylvania and said, I'm going to go into the, you know, the horrible, violent situation in New York City, and what can one person do? And, you know, to invest to help us buy a cow, you know, that can do that. So in that one story, you encapsulated. I'm interested in things like that God's doing around the world. Mm. I want to be involved in this. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to, you know, maybe I'll call up the team and say, you know, what ways more can I help you do this work? And then right. to invest in doing that. I think that sort of encapsulates what we want to try to accomplish today. Absolutely. Any last minute?
No, I just good. worldchallenge.org/missions.
There you go. Yeah.
We'll take them to, they can read more about what we're doing in missions.
Good.
And there is a donate button.
Excellent.
I don't make an apology, like Amen. We said earlier, for yeah. being, you know, asking people to yeah. give sacrificially.
Yeah.
Even, you know, Nick, the truth is we all give sacrificially.
Yeah.
We just give it to different things. We make a sacrifice. I'm not going to do this, so I'm going to.
Do that, yeah.
So I can, you know, somebody the other day critiqued the fact that my television was, I think it's like 45 inches. And they were like, I can't even see that. I need like at least a 60-inch television.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say they thought it was too big.
No, they thought it was too small.
A missionary to have.
They thought it was too small. And, you know, and the point is I could have a bigger TV. But in order to say yes to the things that God might want me to say yes to, I have to say no to some things.
Yeah.
And yeah. that's not a sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's a priority.
Yeah. It's a joy to be able to
yeah.
do that. My wife and I decided some years back, and it's not boasting, just we're just going to have one car mm. and we'll just, you know, personally, you know, maybe selfishly, it helps us connect together more.
Sure.
And, but also, you know, there's not two car payments, not two insurance payments. It frees up a little bit more for these things that we can buy a cow. You know, I'd rather buy a cow than a car, you know,
sure.
or there are 10 cows than a car. And so that's just some ways we can be involved and invest. Yeah, and you're right. I love people to check out worldchallenge.org, worldchallenge missions, and donate. And I would encourage you, if you can, I think there's a place you can do a monthly
yep.
gift there, which I think is much better because then that sustains.
Absolutely.
This month we can give 10 cows. Next month we can go to that village and yeah. start a new outreach there. And it helps us be able to establish a budget that we can – and we want to grow that because we talked about earlier, we have a – you know, God has given us – it's not more selfish ambition. God has given us a vision that is larger than the resources that make that possible. So
Absolutely.
It's going to take the miracle – of God's people getting together and investing in the kingdom. Another thing I'd say is you can also get you can sign up for our newsletter, mm-hmm. and that has a monthly, we call it the missions report.
Right.
It's usually a page. Sometimes, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, we're changing that to, I think I mentioned the,
yep.
to a two-page because some of these stories are so phenomenal and it can encourage people.
And I think we're also talking about including an information section there.
Yes.
So that people can grow in their interest.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be great. So sign up for them. You can get it right into your home. I know a lot of young people don't get a lot of mail anymore, snail mail.
Yep.
And it's almost like LPs. It's retro. You
yep.
can actually get an old school. You can go to your mailbox and there's a letter waiting for you. It's cooler than you think it is. It's almost as cool as like, you know, a goatee or a ponytail or skinny jeans. So, which are probably, I don't know if those are still cool or not. I'm so not cool. Although I have, just last little brief thing, I am striving to become hip.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is humble, having integrity and having purity. Okay. And so that's what a new generation that wants to be hip should be chasing. That has nothing to do with our missions podcast over the last few weeks. But we're going to come back again a few more weeks ahead of us. We're looking forward to it. Mark, thank you for your brilliant insight and your godly heart. It's touching mine. I think it's touching a lot of others too.
Thank you. I hope so.
Thanks for listening. God bless you. If you haven't watched our other episodes that Mark and I have been doing together, really encourage you to do that. Oh, man, I'm sorry. There's so much stuff. We didn't even talk about advocating. You can, but here's one way. If you like this podcast, send
others.
It to a few other people.
Yep.
That might pique their, the one of the three things we're talking about, their interest might come alive. So send it to 12 friends. I'm sure each of us have 12 people we can send it to. I don't know why I picked that number.
I think there might have been a biblical reason.
Oh, okay,
to pick that.
Yeah, 12. Get the 12 disciples who are going to start being involved in this work that God has, making yourself a global Christian, a global discipler. Amen. Thanks. God bless you. Grace and peace.
If you enjoyed today's episode, we invite you to do two things. First, share this with someone else. Second, click on the subscribe or follow button on whatever app you're using to listen to the show. That way you get notified when we release a new episode. Thanks for joining us. We hope to see you next time.